Recordings are started.
Thank you very much. Welcome everyone to this WG on Enhancing Accountability meeting number 64 on October 27, 2015, 19 UTC. And today we have a short agenda, and we will, as usual, be doing the roll call and with those attending the AC room. And if there's anyone that is in the phone bridge that is not in the Adobe Connect room, could you please state your name at this point?
This is Aubrey. I'm only on the phone.
Hi, good evening. This is Christopher Wilkinson. Hi. I'm not yet on the Adobe room. For some reason, the URL is not coming up, but I'm intending to get onto the Adobe room. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have Avery and Chris.
I have bad connectivity. I might not get on it at all.
Good. Thank you, Avery. Thank you, Chris. Anyone else?
Kavusaras is only on audio. I have no internet connections.
Thank you very much, Kavus. Noted. Okay, so having no one else on the audio bridge, a reminder to please fill in your statement of interest. If you haven't done so, please feel free to reach anyone in the staff so they can help you with filling your statement of interest. I think that there has been a lot of email exchange in regard to the IGF informal meeting. I will address this situation in the any other business part of our agenda. So if you would like to do any kind of bashing to the culture, you will be able to do so at any other business. And with no further delay, I would now turn to my co-chair, Mathieu, so he can go to agenda item number two. Mathieu?
Thank you very much, Leon, and rest assured, the whole group is very much looking forward to releasing you from your echo chamber, and we'll take care of you in any other business. This is Mathieu Veil speaking, by the way, and welcome all to this call number 64, and the first one after Dublin. We had attempted to include in this call an agenda item regarding the update of the discussions that took place in Dublin on the mission core values and commitments. However, this was tentative because we knew Becky Burr was still traveling, and unfortunately she cannot make it to this meeting, so we'll have to postpone this agenda item until she has totally she's in a position to present it. So this should be quite a short call, actually. We have only some updates on the steps to the next steps for our group to provide. Obviously, I think all of us are still a bit recovering from a fruitful but exhausting week in Dublin, but we need to be aware that we need to keep a steady pace on our work because the deadlines will be approaching fast, and we have a lot of work to do. So most of the agenda item number three is to update you on where we are and where we've been making progress with staff on organizing work for the next steps. And starting with a view on the next step for the chartering organizations. We discussed in Dublin about the timeline. and agreed that we would, as at the same time as we launched a public comment, submit our recommendations to the chartering organizations. And we wanted to review together the paragraphs of our charter, our CCWG charter, regarding chartering organization endorsement, so that we are all on the same page for that. So, Alice, can you show the relevant section of the charter on the AC room, please? So, for those who are not in the AC room, I will shortly read this excerpt from the charter. This says that regarding SOAC support for the draft proposal, our group is supposed to submit draft proposals, and following submission, each of the chartering organizations shall, in accordance with their own rules and procedures, review and discuss the draft proposals and decide whether to adopt the recommendations contained in it. The chairs shall notify the co-chairs of the working group of the results of the deliberation as soon as feasible. Then there's an extra couple of paragraphs about a supplemental draft proposal. In the event that one or more of the participating ASOs or ACs does not adopt one or more of the recommendations contained in the draft proposals, the co-chairs of the CCWG accountability shall be notified accordingly. This notification shall include, at a minimum, the reasons for the lack of support and a suggested alternative that would be acceptable, if any. The CCWG accountability may, at its discretion, reconsider, post for public comments, and/or submit to the chartering organization a supplemental draft proposal which takes into account, there's a typo in the charter because it says takes into accounting, but anyway, takes into account the concerns raised. Following submission of the supplemental draft proposals, the chartering organizations shall discuss and decide in accordance with its own rules and procedures whether to adopt the recommendations contained in the supplemental draft proposals, and the chairs of the chartering organizations shall notify the co-chairs of the results of the deliberations as soon as possible. So we have six chartering organizations. If you remember our timeline, and we are going to submit our draft proposal somewhere at the end of November. And so there will be, we need to prepare the SO and ACs for the ability for them to review these proposals and provide feedback in a time frame that's consistent with the overall public comment, so that we will be in a position over the end of the year, or the turn of the new year, to assess whether option number one, our draft proposal, has been approved by all the chartering organizations, or whether we need to issue a supplemental draft proposals to the chartering organizations, which in turn might lead to an adoption during the month of January, with a face-to-face meeting of the chartering organizations being something that is an option, and it would be only as needed or required by the SOs and AC. It's important, I think, to remind ourselves that we need to prepare our respective ASOs and ACs for that exercise, and that starts very soon now. We as co-chairs are being invited at a ASO-AC leaders conference call later this week, I think it is Thursday, to go through this process, explain our timeline, and raise awareness about the need for timely responses. There is nothing in our charter about relevant delays, but the only mention of as soon as feasible. So that's going to be one of the challenge that we have to face in the upcoming weeks and months. And with that, I'd like to open for any questions, clarifications, comments on this process, making sure that everyone had really had the same understanding of, about the way the next few weeks are going to take place. And one thing I should mention, because I'm seeing Matthew shares a comment in the chat, is that I think the plan would be to organize ASO or AC specific webinars instead of generic webinars. So we could do a GAC webinar with the GAC, a CCNSO webinar with the CCNSO, in order to expedite the process or at least facilitate this. And Alan, the ACSO chair is scheduled for Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. And any question on that SOEC approval process? Okay, I'm seeing no questions, so maybe I'll move to my next item, and then if there are further questions on this one as well, it's certainly going to be open for discussion. I see Steve's hand has been raised, so please, Steve.
It's Steve Del Bianco, Matthew, and I only noted that in the chat, Arun had put up a question to clarify, is it possible that a chartering org accept only part of the proposal and not all of it? And why don't we explore for a moment what would that actually result in, that the supplemental final might still include the part that the chartering org didn't agree with if, for instance, all of the other chartering orgs did agree with. And then it would be a supplemental proposal that did include something, and that would be put back to the chartering org to reconsider whether it would want to reject or accept with the extra piece in it. So that whole process is one that could be prolonged if we allow it to be. And I think that's really the impetus for trying to consider that face-to-face of chartering orgs in January, is to try to resolve differences like that. But Arun had a question, and I wanted to be sure that you addressed that at some point. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. So the options, and that's probably going to address Jorge's questions as well. Jorge's questions are whether the options for the chartering organizations are only adopt or not adopt. So it is clear to me that it is one of the options for the chartering organization is to indicate which recommendations they would adopt, or whether a specific recommendation would not be acceptable, and that is very clear in the first sentence of the second paragraph, the paragraph on the supplemental draft proposal, where there is a clear mention that one or more of the participating ASOs and ACs could not adopt one or more of the recommendations. So I expect there could be a response that all recommendations but one are adopted, that one recommendation gets gets objection. So that's probably going to be that is one of the options for the chartering organization, not only adopt or not adopt as a package, but at a more granular recommendation level. So, Jorge, please indicate if that's not answering your question. And Arun, I suspect that is also addressing yours. Okay, thank you, Arun. I think that's a very important point, that which means that our report, at least a summary, should highlight a number of recommendations. Obviously, we will make sure to that it's clear that the recommendations come as a whole, and it's not open for nitpicking. But it is possible that we get some, at least one recommendation or a couple of recommendations not adopted by some SOACs, and that we have to focus our supplemental draft report on those particular recommendations.
Matthew, sorry, I don't have Adobe connection. May I have a comment?
Of course, Carlos, please.
Good evening to all, or good morning, whatever time. I think I have experience in other organizations than ICANN. In order to facilitate the reply, a table could be provided in columns giving the various SO and AC, in another horizontal column giving the recommendation, and they put cross yes or no. That facilitates revision of that. We have done it in several other cases, and that worked very well. Instead of having a separate, we have a table indicating cross yes or no, recommendation one, cross yes or no, recommendation two, and then SO and AC. That could be organized in the tabular form. Sorry to come in without having the authorizations in the queue, but I'm very sorry. I don't have connection tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kevus. That's a very useful suggestion. And I see a follow-up question from Jorge about the lack of clarity about the term non-adoption. It is totally... I have no idea whether that means that a fully positive decision is required for each of the recommendations, or whether not adopt means having a documented objection. I think we would have to refer to the precedents, including the CWG, where there apparently has been a case where a chartering organization did not formally endorse the recommendations, but at least did not object to them. So I think that's something that we'll need to ensure we have clarity about. But I think we should avoid... I'm hearing some background noise. If you can mute your mic while not speaking, please. So, you know, Jorge, the point you're raising, I think, is a good one to try and have clarity on. However, our charter itself not being very clear, I expect we will be in a place where we need to refer to existing precedents, and probably we'll have to review that offline after this call. Anything else? Okay, so two action items. One about investigating a little more on this aspect about positive, negative views and whether abstention is an approval or a lack of rejection. And Carol's suggestion to provide a very clear table about the recommendations to the chartering organizations. So moving on to the next sub-item, an update on the process and timeline. If you remember in Dublin, we discussed about hiring professional writers to help with our messaging and formalization of the report. And ICANN staff has been very, ICANN Communications especially, and Alice have been very active over the weekend to work at securing resources. We can confirm that we have person that maybe some of you know by the name of Susanna Gray, who is now on board, and she already has a first proof of concept assignment to work with on the budget discussions. This is very much a proof of concept that we are experimenting, so you can expect an outcome in the next few days, but that's a work in progress, obviously. We have a second resource that is currently being worked at. A couple of things about Susanna. Alice, can you provide Susanna has been working with ICANN already, and we've had reviewed some existing material that she helped produce about IANA. There's a very useful booklet that she produced, which shows that she has a very clear style and ability to discuss, to write about technical and internet governance things. I don't know if I can provide the links. They're here. I'll put them in the chat because Alice is already... Okay, excellent. Alice is already taking the notes, so... And that's Susanna's profile. So the key principles for working with the professional writers are going to be, according to our discussions in Dublin, that we will issue terms of reference for their writing and guiding them with the existing material that we have provided, as well as some bullet points about what we think matters in terms of content. And that's going to be under the supervision, basically, of the work parties. The deliverables will be, the work parties will have opportunities to review the documents block by block, not as a whole report at the end, obviously. And although the turnaround is going to be short because of our timelines, there will be this opportunity for review, and the approval of the documents will be definitely made in the CCWG and no other place, but we will encourage very strongly to focus on whether the document reflects the choices of our group and not do wordsmithing within the course. And so that, and we are working right now on a detailed timeline with expected deliverable times, so that each of us has a visibility about what part of the reports are expected to be produced at what point. And so that's to highlight the next steps, which are a lot about writing. Obviously, we have the decision-making discussion that will that has been initiated by Jordan Carter and will be on the agenda of the Work Party 1 call on Friday, and as well as some upcoming discussions on stress test 18 after the GAC input, the GAC communique that was issued in Dublin.
Matthew, it's Bruce Tonkin, if I can just ask a question.
Yes, please, Bruce.
Are you clear on the audience for the document? Is the audience, for example, the advisory committee councils and supporting organisation councils? Is the audience the ICANN community, or is the audience the general public, such as the press and politicians?
Thanks for raising this point, Bruce. The way we're seeing it, and we have been discussing this with ICANN Communications as well and in the co-chairs rapporteur group, and obviously happy to get your inputs, is we'll have a summary of 20 pages of our report. And for that part, the audience should be people who are not necessarily very familiar with ICANN. It needs to be understood at even the political level, as well as for people outside of the ICANN community. Then we'll have a second part with details regarding each of the recommendations, each of the powers, the IRP enhancements, the request for a reconsideration enhancements, etc. And these more detailed parts, for these detailed parts, the audience, the target audience is going to be much more about the ICANN community, people within the ASO and ACs, not only the council, obviously, but the relevant communities. And so that's the two levels of writing that we are intending to have in the report. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think that's helpful, because I think if we're talking the general public, we've really got to remove the sort of acronym soup, you know, like the supporting organisations, you know, ALAC, GNSO, CCSO, none of those things are understandable to the person on the street, or to a politician for that matter, whereas within the ICANN community, you know, we're pretty well-versed in the terminology. So I think the audiences are very different.
Thanks, Bruce. I see Cheryl's agreeing on that. David, I know you raised a point in the chat earlier. Is there anything else we can clarify on these next steps? David?
Matthew, thank you very much. I just have a question, or maybe it's really a question to confirm. What I understand from your remarks is that you're looking for a second resource, meaning a second writer, and that the work will be divided between the two writers along the lines of work parties, as opposed to one doing a summary and one doing something more detailed. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, I think that's a fair statement. Maybe not exactly the line of the work parties, but at least I would withdraw what I said. I guess there will be only one writer for the summary, and then the rest will be divided. But I think we need a unity of style for the summary. But that's still very much work in progress. So if you have specific recommendations or ideas, I think they're welcome.
No, it sounds feasible to me. And as a member of Work Party 2, if I can help along the way, I'd be happy to. So thanks very much.
Thanks, David, and I know you've been volunteering, and if need be, we'll certainly call you out for your help on that. And you'll be certainly put to work at least reviewing the terms of reference and the content for consistency with our report.
Thank you.
Any other questions on this? So you can expect a detailed timeline as well as a first sample of writing on the budget powers in the next couple of days, basically 2 to 3 days. And we'll certainly update on that during the next call on next Tuesday. Okay. So I'm back over to you, Leon, for the much-anticipated AOB. Have you been released?
I don't know. I think I might still be on the well. Am I?
It's a little better.
Okay, so I'm climbing up. So, as any other business, you might as well have seen an email in which I invited those who can and are willing to join us to continue our work at the IGF. You might remember that in our last session, we asked who was going to be at the IGF, and it seemed as a good idea that since many of us were already going to be there, we might as well gather together to continue the work and discuss final tweaks to any progress that has been made in the working parties between that day of that session and the day in which we could gather in the IGF. So therefore, I reached out to Pedro, which very kindly arranged with the IGF Secretariat for us to have a room available if we wanted and if we would be able to work for 2 days, for 3 hours each day. But this is only as a basis, as Greg pointed in the email list, as if we went to the bar and discussed things in a very informal environment. And this would, of course, not be or entail any kind of decision-making. I mean, this is only to take advantage that many of us will already be there. And if we want to iron out some details that would then be subject to approval by the larger group, that could be a good way to actually go and iron out those details between us, seizing the opportunity that we are in a face-to-face meeting. But this, of course, would be an informal meeting. This is not an official CCWG meeting. As such, ICANN would not be in a position to either provide any kind of staff support, any kind of remote participation, any kind of travel support. I mean, this is just as I said, as we are all in the same place, just agree that we want to have dinner together and discuss any kind of topics. This is what it is. It's not any kind of obscure or opaque meeting in which we will take advantage of those not present to steer things in the way that the others wouldn't want to. So it's not at all like that. It's just, as I said, a chance to actually iron out details in a face-to-face way. So with this in mind, I suggested that we filled in a form in which we will be able to actually see who is attending the IGF, and from there we could coordinate to see if we actually hold a meeting or we don't hold a meeting at all. So, Pedro, as I said, kindly arranged for us to have this working space in case we are able to actually hold any kind of gathering. I would not call it a meeting because, as I said, this is not a meeting. It would only be a gathering for us to actually be able to talk face-to-face, but that's it. And should we choose not to hold any kind of gathering or any meeting, of course, I think it would be very useful for Pedro to know this so they can release those spaces for other means. So at this point, I think that's the clarification I wanted to give you on this proposed informal gathering in the IGF. And I am mindful that many of you have already other commitments and other obligations within the IGF, so this might also be a challenge. And as I said, this was not planned as a competing session with other main sessions of the IGF. It was just the intent to actually see if we can seize the opportunity and continue our work in those aspects in which we felt we needed to actually talk face-to-face. And I see Tijani's hand is up. Tijani?
Speaking. I don't see any harm in having a consultation, a gathering in Brazil. I saw males that are a little bit, refusing this kind of meeting. But it's not, as you said, it's not an official meeting. There is no decision making, only to consult. And I think it is always good to consult. But I also proposed in Dublin that we make another effort of communication in the IGF, so that we show to the non-ICANners, if you want, to people who are not ICANN, to people who always say the multi-stakeholder model will not succeed. We have to make a communication effort to show them that it is working, and we are approaching a good concept. the transition will happen. So I think that it is a good thing and a good opportunity to take this kind of communication. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Next on the queue, I have Rulof. Rulof?
Thanks, Leon. This is Rulof Meyer. I just would like to add to Tijani. I think we can call it a meeting. I don't know what an informal meeting is, but there will be people from this group participating in the IGF, and I think during those days we will be also working on CCWD stuff individually through our working parties. It might just help if we find a room and we do some work together just to move this thing quicker forward. So I agree. There's no harm in that, and I can see the advantages.
Thank you very much, Rulof. So I am also aware that a couple of members and participants have offered either support to be able to actually have some kind of remote participation. This is an offering that, of course, I would be very happy to take on board. If it's possible, it's possible. But, of course, I wouldn't put any kind of obligation on those who kindly have offered this kind of support. So by this, I mean James Cannon, who kindly offered to see if it was possible to actually configure some kind of remote participation channel. James, I really appreciate this, and if it's possible, then it would be great. But as I said, feel no obligation at all to actually set it as something for the group. And, of course, should we be able to actually set up a channel for remote participation, we would notify to the list the details to join remotely. But if there's no remote participation, well, of course, we'll only meet whoever is available and willing to actually gather at this space. So having heard Tijani and having heard Rulof, is there anyone that opposes to actually seizing the opportunity that many of us will be at the IGF that we have already arranged through Pedro a room to gather and, of course, continue the discussions, as Greg stated, as if we were in a bar, and this is, of course, a gathering that has actual no standing of decision-making or anything else, but to actually, as I said, iron out details. And I see Eberhard's hand is up, and I saw him put a cross objecting, but I don't know if you want to speak to it, Eberhard, or if you are only opposing?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Eberhard, we do hear you.
I think this is a good idea. I have raised this shortly earlier this morning, and I have refrained from commenting to the list. I have no objections with whoever is wherever to meet and talk. But I would suggest that we not make this in any way a related meeting. It is not according to the charter. Even if you have, if you say you have remote participation, that some of us have to work for a living, we will be unable to participate. I would really suggest that you use this opportunity, like Tijani said, to sort of brief the IGF. And maybe have a beer and talk a little bit about things that. But I would in no way advance the topic. I really would suggest that this was not a very bright idea, especially the way it was put. So I don't want to criticize an individual here. I just think this is something that we shouldn't do.
Thank you very much, Eberhard. And yes, as I said, this in no way will have any kind of decision-making power or any kind of, decision-making. This will be very informal, regardless of it having remote participation or whatever. So any other comments on this?
Okay, so having no more comments and having no more business to take care of in this call, I would just like to once again thank Pedro for his efforts and allowing us to actually have a room available should we need it. Thank you very much, Pedro, for this. And I do have one more question to address that I was forgetting. And you might have seen many disrupting emails that have distracted us from our work. And these level of emails on the list were cataloged by some of the participants and members as spam. And there were different back and forths in the email list with perhaps some judgments or qualifications on the participants on those discussions. And I would strongly suggest that we continue our work in a way that is constructive, in a way that we abide to the expected standards of behavior. I know that, of course, we are allowed to say anything we want, as Eberhard would point out. At any time, but I do encourage everyone to continue contributing to the mailing list in a constructive way. As requested by many of the participants and members of this group, it was escalated, so now we have restricted the person who was disrupting the list from actually posting to the list. But we wouldn't want to, of course, have another case in which we would need to escalate things this way. And I see Eberhard's hand is up. Eberhard?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Eberhard.
Okay. For how long have you restricted? And usually at the first restriction there is a time limit, and one should awards this individual the opportunity to join the list. One can always toss him off again if necessary.
Thank you very much, Eberhard. We haven't really thought of having this as a temporary measure, but we can, of course, consider it. We could be listing this measure on this person maybe within the 2 or 3 weeks, if you agree, and if this happens again, then we could of course enforce the measure once again, and this time it would be a definitive measure. But if we all agree, and I would rather say if there is any opposition for us lifting the restriction in 2 weeks' time. So in 2 weeks, this person would be able to actually rejoin the list and be able to post once again to the list. And if the disruptive conduct still appears, then we would be escalating things back and suspending in a definitive manner, this person. I see Rulof's hand is up. Rulof?
Yes, Leon, this is Rolf Meyer, thank you. Well, I think it's obvious that I support the decision made by the co-chairs. I would just want to signal that although I understand why you had your small speech on how we should all behave on the mailing list, I think you would agree with me that that it is a pity that obviously this kind of speech falls on the wrong ears. I don't think that anybody on this list was behaving in any way close to the person that you now have stopped access to the list. So I understand why you said it, but I just want to note that this is not the group that should be addressed.
Indeed, you are right, Rulof. It was something that it was. I needed to say it. But you are right.
And now I see Eberhard's hand is up. Eberhard?
Can you hear me again?
Yes, we can hear you.
I've got poor connectivity. I didn't feel that the group was addressed, but I feel very strongly that we should avoid being too restrictive, leave people the opportunity to behave like idiots, and if he does it again, then he has shown that he is not willing to listen. But we should be very careful that we not restrict anyone unless we really have to. Yeah. We had this on other lists. We have Jeff Zemorfin doing this on other lists. Who has been kicked off IATF lists repeatedly, posting, and then he posted under different names. What we want to avoid is that people like that then start registering under different names, and then you have an endless thing going on. Often, if you tell them if such a warning shot happens, they will either lose interest or they will start abiding by the charter of the league. I think your approach is quite measured and very under what one could have done. And I think we should. This is the way we should approach this.
Thank you very much, Eberhard. We will definitely take this into account for this situation. Okay. So, are there any other comments? We will be enabling this person to repost to the list in 2 weeks' time, and then if the behavior persists, then we will be again taking measures to restrict his participation. Are there any other comments at this point? Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. We have addressed all the points in our agenda, and we can call this meeting adjourned at this point. Thanks, everyone, and talk to you soon.